Good morning, everyone. A very special welcome to our guests and our visitors. And if you're here for the first time, we hope that you feel at home among us at St. Benedict's. So happy to have you. There were two priests who died right around the same time. And so when they got to the pearly gates, St. Peter said to them, "Well, gentlemen, we have a problem. Both of you have been very good disciples of the Lord during your lifetimes, but our computers are down, and we're really, really struggling to process people, so we're not going to be able to process you just yet for your eternal salvation, so you need to hang out for a little while and maybe go back to earth." But there's a catch, because you cannot go back as humans, so you need to choose something you'd like to be for just a few hours. And so the one priest says, "Oh, that's easy for me. I always wanted to be an eagle so that I can soar above the skies and I could fly over the Rocky Mountains and see all of that." He says, St. Peter grabs his magic wand, goes, "Whoom, eagle." First priest goes off soaring into the sky. The second priest says, "You know, I was always kind of shy and kind of a nerd in high school. Didn't have too many friends, didn't socialize too much, and I kind of went right into ministry. And, you know, I always wanted to see what it was like to feel like a stud. You know, I wanted to be a stud." And see, Peter looks at him and says, "Stud, okay." Magic wand goes, "Phew, stud." Well, when you know it, the Lord comes a few hours later and says, "Well, Peter, where are those priests? You know, the computers are back up. We got to find them to bring them back." He says, "Well, one of them I can find very easily, because he is an eagle soaring and flying above the Rocky Mountains. But the other one, you know, the other one, I'm not sure we're going to be able to find him so easily." He says, "Why?" He says, "I think he's on the tire of a snow truck somewhere in Alaska." A stud. Got to be careful what you ask for. You may get it. When Jesus called his disciples, when he invited them to come follow me, they didn't know what they were getting into. When they said they wanted to be his disciples and his followers, they didn't know what they were asking for. And it's interesting how last week the lectionary gave us John 10, right? And we were all about the good shepherd and the sheep following the shepherd and listening to his voice. And today, the lectionary jumps five chapters ahead to my favorite part of John, John 15. "I am the vine, you are the branches." And there's something going on with all of these images, especially now in John 15. If you look in your Bibles, you're going to find that John 15 is sometimes called the last discourse or the last supper discourse. It's like Jesus saying goodbye, preparing his disciples for something. But there's three things I want you to think about today. Three phrases from this gospel that Deacon Deb just proclaimed for us. And I want you to think about what it means about being a disciple today. Because Jesus says, "Abide in me as I abide in you." In other words, this is a relationship that is real. And we're not just in this relationship because of what we bring to it. Jesus has already given his life for us. Jesus has already called us through baptism to be temples of his Spirit. So we abide in the Lord, yes, but he abides in us first. Isn't that what we say? Through baptism, we are temples of God's Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So abide in me, Jesus says, as I abide in you. So the first assumption we need to make, and the first affirmation of faith we need to make, is that God already abides in us, and he calls us to abide in him. The relationship goes two ways. Have you ever met someone who expects a relationship to be always one way? Right? They see you and they say, but you don't call me. Oh, hello? I always thought the phone worked both ways. But you don't visit me. I always thought you could visit each other. But I never hear from you. There's people that are like that, right? We all know people like that. But Jesus says, I abide in you already. Abide in me. In other words, stay connected. I love this image of the branch or the vine, the trunk, and the branches. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the grapevine. You ever heard of the grapevine? It's an old grapevine in the Hampton Court Palace near London. It was planted in 1768. Wow. Been around for a while, huh? It was 200 years older than me. It has but one root. Trunk like this. Those who come with me to Canterbury this year, which there's a few here I can see that are coming, we're going to go see it. It's got a trunk that's about 2 feet wide, 2 feet thick, I should say. Some of its branches are 200 feet long. Imagine that, 200 feet. Look at the width of this church. Or more, 200 feet long. And those branches extend out. And I was watching a YouTube video where the caretaker, this incredible woman who's in charge of coordinating all the pruning and everything, she was telling the story of how the reason they had this planted was that the king wanted to give the best grapes to his visitors. So obviously, also the best wine, right? So he wanted his visitors to have these great, wonderful grapes, and so he had this planted. But of course, when they planted it, they had no idea how much this thing would grow and how much fruit it would produce. Do you know that that thing that's over 200 years old is still producing several tons of grapes each year? And even though some branches are small and some are over 200 feet, like I said, they all come from the same vine. You think about it. Here we are 2,000 years later. And when Jesus said to his disciples today, I am the vine, you are the branches, he said, you will be my extensions, my good news, my disciples in this world. No matter how far you feel you are from that trunk or that vine, you are the branches, extensions. You must stay connected to the vine. Now, I know that we live in a world where there's a lot of people that are turned off by religion. They have every excuse in the world to be turned off by it. Some of them are very justified, by the way. But there are people who use that as an excuse in their relationship with God. And they say, I'm disconnected. There was this pastor, Presbyterian pastor in the north of Belfast. It's a true story. He saw his church keep shrinking and shrinking through the years. And he had served that congregation for many generations. And all of a sudden, toward the end of his life, he said, I'm going to take a survey. And so he got all his church leaders together, and he said, let's go visit these homes. They visited 2,000 homes in Belfast. 2,000. And they took surveys. They interviewed people. And when the pastor got back to his desk and sat at his office, there was a stack of surveys like this, and he went through all of them. And the comments were something like this. Well, the kids go to Sunday school, but the parents are not that interested. There were others that said, oh, we got disconnected because we started doing other things on Sunday morning. We feel the church is important, but we also feel disconnected from it. Sometimes we forget that disconnect impacts our relationship with Christ. Because Christians are always in relationship, not just with Jesus, but with other Christians. The New Testament never, ever speaks of a solitary Christian. The great John Donne told us, "No man is an island." Remember that? Every aspect of Christianity, almost every aspect of it, is somehow connected to community. Community is at the core of Christianity. Community is at the core of seeking to be disciples. Because if you think about it, it is only when we support each other in our ministry and our lives as Christians that we're really able to be effective disciples, because we need each other to be a community of disciples, to be the church. When Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches," he says we must stay connected to the vine, which is Jesus, and to each other, the body of Christ. We cannot downplay the importance of this connection. You know, in 1992, I was here when the great Hurricane Andrew passed. I don't know how many of you remember Hurricane Andrew, but it was a big storm. It was supposed to come in from the Atlantic, remember, in the Caribbean. It was going to go up through Palm Beach County, remember? So everyone in Palm Beach up here in the north, they were all very ready. But, you know, my family home was in Kendall, down south. And I was a seminary student at the time. And I remember when that storm came through there, wow, we certainly didn't expect it. We were all prepared for it. But the next day after the storm, when I went out and opened the front door of the house, I could tell it looked like a war zone. The cars were destroyed from, you know, concrete roof tiles flying as projectiles. All the trees, any significant tree was down or uprooted. And I remember that just a few days after the storm, as you drove around the neighborhood, you could almost immediately see what branches were not going to make it. Because the ones that disconnected from the trunk, the ones that had severed from the main trunk, were beginning to get dry and wither. The colors of the leaves were changing, and you can tell that branch is going to have to be cut. You know, Jesus speaks of that in today's gospel. Did you hear that? "I am the vine, you are the branches. I want you to bear much fruit. I want you to be connected." When we disconnect from the branch, something dies. Something isn't right. So the third thing from today's gospel I want you to think about, well, it says, "Abide in me as I abide in you." We know that. "Apart from me, you can do nothing." We cannot live without Christ and without that connection to each other in Christ. But the third thing I want you to think about is, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit," listen to this, "and become my disciples." Become my disciples. You know, oftentimes as church people, we think, you know, been here all my life, baptized, confirmed, communicant. I'm kind of a professional church person. They once asked the great Mother Teresa of Calcutta what was her biggest worry for the church, and she said, "Professional church people." And they said, "Why, Mother, do you say that?" She says, "Yep, because professional church people think they don't have anywhere to grow. They've accomplished it all." That's a big, big mistake. The fact is, Jesus says to his disciples who have been with him for 3 years, they've walked with him, they've seen everything, they've witnessed everything, the miracles, the teachings, everything, "Become my disciples. What is he saying when he says that? Did you see that? It's the last line in today's gospel. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear fruit and become my disciples. He was telling them that this becoming disciples is an ongoing thing. He's not done with any of us yet. Becoming a disciple of Jesus is a lifetime process. It's like conversion. We want to follow the Lord. We want to follow God's way, but we're still not there. It's always funny when people interview me, and I've been interviewed way too many times, but they'll always ask things like, oh, Father, what do you want to accomplish, you know, in the church? What rank are you seeking, or what title or whatever? I said, I'm just seeking to be a Christian, because it's hard enough. Just to be a disciple of Jesus, it's hard enough. So I say to you this morning, my dear sisters and brothers, Jesus is calling us to become his disciples. He's not done with us yet. We have still so much more to do in following the Lord. For some people, it's going to mean a little more time of prayer every day, a little more Bible reading each day, a little more connection with other Christians. Maybe it's a prayer group or attending daily Eucharist, or maybe it's coming to that healing service or that Bible study or that one thing that connects me with a faith community on an ongoing basis. For others, it'll be, am I serving the Lord intentionally? Because, you know, some Christians have become social workers. Some Christians think that they go out there and do this, you know, I'm gonna feed the poor, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. If we don't do it in the name of Jesus, then we just become social workers. Whatever we do, we need to do it in the name of Jesus. We need to do it as an invitation of serving the Lord and becoming his disciples in this world, even though we are far from being perfect or far from being where we should be. We are called to become his disciples. And I'd like to think that we're all in the process of becoming, because becoming is the opposite of disconnecting. The more we connect with the Lord, the more we connect with each other as a Christian community, the more we come together to do the work of God, the more we are what we have been called to be, disciples of the risen Christ. And we become those disciples when we look at our lives. Look at your agenda. Look at your appointment book or at your Google calendar. That's what I use, the Google calendar. Whatever calendar you use, look at it. How much of your time you feed your spirit when you pray? Just like you feed yourself breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Just like you feel thirsty because you need to have that glass of water, you need to have that drink. Our souls are also thirsting for the living God. They also need some time to connect. We cannot become his disciples unless we connect. And so Jesus is the vine. May we never forget that we are the branches. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.